And I hate sometimes when we have these interruptions, you know, in our necessary interruptions. But can I just bring you back to the moments that we had while we were worshiping the Lord in song? And as we now approach His Word, let's receive what He has for us and pray that it would be transformational in our life. Can I pray this morning? Father, we thank You that You are incomparable, that You are holy. Thank You that You have brought us into a relationship with You and that we are here for You. Lord, as we look in Your Word this morning, we once again realize our dependence upon Your Holy Spirit to bring Your Word into our hearts. So, Holy Spirit, come now and anoint this time and do what only You can do in each of our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. You know, I believe that when we open God's Word, that He has something for each one of us. And I believe that it might be different for you than it is for me. That there's an application that He has that He has for you personally. But in order to be able to engage that application or to hear what He might be saying, you need to work at this a little bit. This is not just about, you know, the preacher getting up and at the end of the day we'll go, boy, that was a good it's a good message or bad message. It's about you hearing from God through His Word. If it is really going to take the root in our lives and bear fruit. So let me just call your attention to that this morning as we open the Bible together today. That it's as much your job to engage in the Word as it is my job. Got it? Okay, good. What do you think of when you think about God? You know, I'd like to do something here. I've been thinking about doing this for a little while. I'm pretty convinced that if you're like me, we're uncomfortable with silence. Do you know what I mean? Just sitting still. So when I ask the question, what do you think of when you think of God, and when you think about what God is like, I think it'd be good if we took a minute and thought about that and asked the Lord to bless this moment when we're thinking about God. You know, the Scriptures often call us to a place of quiet. In fact, one of the Psalms says what? Be still and know that I am God. Can you know, this is going to be uncomfortable, I think, to be quiet for a minute. But, you know, I'd like us to engage in this discipline because I'd like to see us as a congregation get quiet more often in our worship times together and just be quiet and listen for the Lord. So, okay, it's 10:27, according to the clock on the back wall. Why don't you close your eyes and be still? And consider what you think about when you think of God. What is God like? And a minute's going to seem like an hour. Okay. That was hard, wasn't it? No. It's good to hear. I mean, don't you think it would be good if we did that more often as a practice in our worship times and just sat and, you know, acknowledged God and listened for His voice? You know, people often think of God in different ways. You'll sometimes hear people say things really interesting, I think, like you'll say something about what God has done or what He might do, and they'll say, my God's not like that. And you think, okay, how many gods are there? Do we each have a different God? And one of the things we're going to do in the weeks ahead is we're going to go to the truth of God's Word, where He reveals Himself. And we're going to discover together how God is revealed in His Word. And so hopefully at the end of the day, at the end of the time that we're together in this, we'll have an idea together of what God really is like. Not based on our experiences, opinions, or what we've heard, but rather what God's Word says about Him. I think if we went out on the street and we asked the question that I posed to you this morning, you know, what is God like? I think we'd get, don't you, all kinds of different answers. Some people see God as being far off and distant and untouchable and kind of out there somewhere. Some people see God as out to get them. You know, He's there and He's just waiting for me to make a mistake so that He can punish me. I don't know if you remember this, Bob, or not, but I remember Mom always, frequently she would say to us when she was trying, my mother, when she was trying to get us to behave, she would say something like, Jesus is watching you. You remember that? You don't remember that. Maybe she only said it to me. Well, it did impact me because, you see, the message that she intended to communicate, of course, was even though I don't have eyes in the back of my head, there is somebody bigger than me who is far scarier than me who sees everything that you do. You know, some people see God as just the opposite of that. God is my buddy. He is the man upstairs who has my back. And it's as though they see God as some celestial Santa Claus. He's there to give me everything that I want, and He's there to protect me from any pain in this life, and He's there to make my life easy. What is God like? A.W. Tozer, in the first sentence of the first chapter of a book that you are all going to order before you go to lunch today. You hear me? The Knowledge of the Holy. A book that you are all going to order. I would not be offended if you pulled out your devices and ordered it right now. Says this, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What Tozer is saying in this book, in which you are all going to order before you go to lunch today, is that when we get it wrong about God, it doesn't really matter what else we get right. Or perhaps another way of putting it is this: thinking rightly about God enables us to think rightly about ourselves and about our place in this world. Proverbs 9:10 says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear, as the writer of Proverbs, as he uses this word here, it means reverence or respect. It means to understand who we are in relationship with. It doesn't mean to cower. Tozer says in his book, Knowledge of the Holy, to fear and not be afraid is the paradox of faith. And that's what he's talking about here. So we're going to embark on a series of teachings that center on what God reveals of himself in the Bible. And we will, along the way, undoubtedly be looking at some of the great creeds of the Christian faith as well, as we see God as triune, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Today, my intent or my assignment is to introduce the series, and next week we'll begin a series of messages that are centered on the revelation of God as our Father. And then sometime near Easter, we'll look primarily at what the New Testament says about Christ. And we're going to be in the book of Colossians, as we, a couple of chapters in that book. And then finally, we'll see together how God reveals himself in spirit, as the Holy Spirit. So I'm guessing that'll take us a while, you guys. So with a tinge of trepidation on my part that we begin this journey together, those of you who have been at Grace for, I'm thinking the last dozen years or so, remember a time when we began a series on who God is. God not only began to reveal himself through his word to us, but he also began to reveal to us places that we needed to repent of how we saw him. We discovered a truth together that C.S. Lewis writes about in the Chronicles of Narnia, that God is not safe, but he is good. So it's a little, we're embarking on not safe territory, I guess you might say, when we begin to look at what the Bible reveals to us about God. That time was incredibly formative for us as a congregation. I can say that hard but very good changes happened. And we referred to that time as a time of shattering. And from that time, we developed something that we called the Holiness Creed. And it's here that I'd like for us to begin this series. This captures, I think, the essence of what the Lord revealed to us in that time through his word about himself. So, let me share this with you, and hopefully it'll be up behind me here. The Holiness Creed. Holiness is a fundamental truth about God, not an attribute. You understand what I mean by that? It's not as though God is kind is an attribute of God, or God is sovereign, or God is everywhere at all times. Holiness is a fundamental truth about him. It is who he is. And we'll talk more about that. When referring to God as holy, it means his incomprehensible uniqueness. There is no one like him. And he is beyond our understanding. God is passionate about being seen and known as God. And this passion is clearly expressed in the incarnation of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came to reveal God. It is through the person of Christ that we know God as God, primarily. And this incarnation continues now in us, the body of Christ. So this is where we begin, when we begin a series on what the Word of God reveals to us about God. We begin this series on knowing and understanding God by saying this: we can't know and we can't understand God. That's the thing that we need to settle in our hearts, I think, at the very outset. He is beyond our comprehension. And we need to make peace with the truth that God is beyond us, that He is, in fact, mystery. We can't break Him down, and we can't take Him apart and analyze Him and come away with an answer about who God is. So that's the place we need to start. You okay with that? Okay, I mean, we're so used to having, I know, radio shows on Christian, you know, to every man an answer, like everything can be figured out. It can, and God is beyond us. He is other than us. Theologians sometimes refer to God as Deus Abscondius, which means hidden God. And He is. And so while we're going to look together in His Word at some amazing ways that God reveals Himself to us, we should never fully expect to understand God. He is holy. Tozer, and again in this book here, The Knowledge of the Holy, says this. I just love the way this guy writes. He says this, forever, it's like you got to really sit and think about what he writes about the holiness of God. Forever God stands apart, in light unapproachable. He is as high above an archangel as he is above a caterpillar. Think about that. So before we get into things that God reveals about himself as Father, Son, and Spirit, we're going to begin today by simply being still and understand that God is holy. And the passage that we're going to be using for our theme for this series is Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36. You think you could memorize this passage? I do. I think you can. And so by the end of this time together, we should have this. It's just a few verses, but so important. Paul writes this about God. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Who has given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Let's look at verse 33. He says this in verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Now think about what Paul is saying here. He's not just saying something like God is really, really, really smart. It's so much more than that. He's saying something like God's wisdom and God's knowledge is so much greater than ours that we should stand in awe of it. Tozer again, think about this, the book that you're going to get. He says this about God and this particular thought in the holiness of God. God cannot learn. You ever think about that? Tozer goes on to say, to think of God, who must sit at the feet of a teacher is to think of someone other than the Most High God, maker of heaven and earth. Because, he continues, God knows all things perfectly. He knows no thing better than another thing, but all things equally well. He never discovers anything. He is never surprised, never amazed. He never wonders about anything, except when drawing men out for their own good. Nor does he seek information or ask questions. The depths of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. You see how he's so different than we are. God cannot learn. Nothing surprises him. He never wonders. God never says, "What's up with that?" And back in verse 33, his wisdom and knowledge are displayed in his decrees, his ways. Tozer again says this: not only could his acts not be done better, his acts, A-C-T-S, a better way to do them cannot be imagined. His ways, there are no better ways. A better way can't even be thought of. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the prophet writes this: "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Do you get it? Friends, this is where we approach God with humility and with faith. You know, there are times when I read stories in the Bible where I wonder, God, what are you up to? Why this? Why would you do it like this? Things like, you know, read about Moses, and, you know, this guy has this amazing life before he actually becomes the one who leads Israel out of Egypt. And then he goes through doing what God asks him to do in front of Pharaoh, and he faithfully leads Israel out of Egypt. And I think, too, when I read this story, I think, yeah, this is not an, if you're familiar with it, this is not an easy crowd to lead. They're always grumbling and always complaining, and they're doing things like, "Take us back, this is terrible." And faithfully, this guy leads on and on for 40 years, and then he gets shut out of the end zone. He doesn't get to go in the promised land. That makes me scratch my head. And I think about the story of David and King Saul. David's just this boy, gets anointed as king, and he has to wait 40 plus years to actually get to be king of the whole kingdom. What's up with that? Sometimes Lynn, my wife, will be doing her morning readings and come across a story in the Bible that kind of baffles her, and she thinks, I'm the pastor, so I know everything, you know. No, she doesn't think that. I mean, y'all might think that sometimes, but my wife doesn't think that. Anyway, she'll ask me, "Doug, what's going on here?" And I'll say, "I don't know. I really don't know why God did it that way." But, you see, he is God, and I trust that his ways are beyond our ways. And I trust that in the life of Moses and in the life of David and other characters that I read about, that he is building faith and he is up to something in their in that relationship with those people. And then, you know, when things come into our lives that we somehow can't make sense out of, this is where we trust that God is at work. And we approach him with humility and with faith. Because his knowledge and his wisdom is infinite, and ours is so limited. Verse 34 says, "Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" This again brings us to a place of proper humility before God. And really, the bottom line is, it all is about humility and awe. You know, in my 64 years of life, the technological advances that I've seen, I sound like an old man here now, I know, and I am, but they're stunning. They're absolutely stunning. I have this new friend, Siri, who knows everything. You know, I can remember I was sitting in the kitchen with my granddaughter, and she was stumbling over a spelling word. She asked me how to spell it, and I said, "You can figure it out. It's not that hard." Next thing I know, I'm hearing, "Siri, how do you spell?" And boom, she's got the answer. Man, where was that when I was a sophomore in high school in a geometry class? You know, just today, this morning, I went outside early before the sun came up to pick up the morning paper, and I glanced up into the sky. What did I see? You know, it's just stars everywhere. We sang about that this morning. Who sets the stars in the sky and knows them by name? And you know, when I look at the sky and I see all the stars, I feel properly small. Do you know what I mean? And we are small. Our medium-sized galaxy is one of 100 million galaxies. None of us can contribute to the knowledge and wisdom of God. Our proper response, I think, is to realize two things. We will never fully understand God, and therefore we will never fully understand his ways, and then it makes sense in this life to follow the advice of Solomon in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. I need the counsel of God. It's not as though he's looking for my counsel. Tozer says this, "How completely satisfying to turn from our limitations to a God who has none." Verse 35, "Who was ever given to God that God should repay them?" Tozer again. He says this. By the way, did you know A.W. Tozer was a pastor in Toledo, Ohio? He pastored, well, I think it was called, used to be called the Toledo Gospel Tabernacle, which is now called First Alliance Church. And he was the pastor there. "Who has ever given to God that God should repay them?" Tozer says this, "Almighty God just because he is almighty, needs no support. So lofty is our opinion of ourselves, he continues, that we find it quite easy, not to say enjoyable, to believe that we are necessary to God. But the truth is, God is not greater for our being. Nor would he be less if we did not exist. Who is ever given to God that God should repay them? God does not need our help. God does not need us to defend him. Verse 36, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. In this last verse of the doxology here in Romans chapter 11, I think what we have is a distinctly Christian way of seeing the world, if you will, way of seeing our existence. Paul describes here a way of seeing the world out of a place of faith in a God who is holy. You know, when you look at the last verse here, verse 36, this is so important for us because you see, who is at the center here? It's God himself, a holy God, for from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory. And the tendency we have as his creatures is so often to put ourselves in the center, right? I mean, isn't it sickening sometimes how self-centered we are? And can you imagine living life out of this verse where our hearts and minds are the way we think and see the world comes from this verse, for from him and through him and for him are all things. We are not the measure of all things. God is. The world and all that it is from God and for God and for his glory. You know, I started the message from the first line of the first chapter of this book here. What comes to mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And I think this is the place to begin when we begin a series looking together at what God reveals about himself in the Word. God is transcendent. That's where we begin. And it's so important for us to know this and remember this, that he is different from, he is holy, he is transcendent, he is greater than us, he is beyond us. There's nothing to compare to him. He is infinitely wise, and he is beyond our understanding. He is God, and he is holy. And yet, this holy God, he is near to us, and he loves us, and he offers a relationship to us through faith in his son, Jesus. And this is where we will be going in the weeks ahead. We will see how God is near to us. But it's important before we go there to understand that he is holy and other than us. God reveals himself to us as Father. To those who come to him through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. That's where we'll be, that's where we will be in the next few weeks ahead. So we have this amazing God who shows himself to us in his word. And why don't we pray now? We're done with this morning's message. But let's offer this time that we have in the weeks ahead to him. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Say it with me. Amen. Amen.